by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jet's Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number 217-352-3333 and 1907 West Springfield Avenue. Their number 217-352-9992. You can order online at jetspizza.com. Disability Beat is also sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Jamie Marr from Health Alliance. You're listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Teresa O'Connor of the CU Autism Network on an upcoming local conference on autism. But first, disability news for the week of August 29th, 2016, from the Arc of Illinois and Disability Scoop. Hoping to harness momentum, disability advocates are pushing Congress to fast-track legislation designed to help kids with autism and other developmental disabilities at risk of wandering. The bill known as Kevin and Avante's Law was approved by the U.S. Senate in July. Now advocates are working to get the House of Representatives to consider the measure yet this year. With limited time before the November election, the Autism Safety Coalition, comprised of a dozen groups supporting the bill, is asking the House Judiciary Committee to forego a hearing and move to send Kevin and Avante's Law straight to the House floor for a vote. Said Lori McElwain, chair of the National Autism Association and a member of the coalition, quote, "This is a critical piece of legislation, and because of the short timeline, our hope now is that the committee will report the bill in an expedited manner so that it can be brought up before the end of Congress," end quote. The bill would allow the U.S. Department of Justice to issue grants to law enforcement agencies to pay for electronic tracking devices for individuals with developmental disabilities who are prone to running away, otherwise known as eloping. An expansion of an existing federal program that focuses on the needs of those with Alzheimer's disease who are at risk of bolting. The legislation would authorize $2 million in grants annually for the tracking devices, training, and other resources to address wandering. Research suggests that about half of children with autism have wandered from a safe place, and since 2011, more than 100 people with autism or Down syndrome have died as a result of eloping, according to the Autism Safety Coalition. The U.S. Department of Justice on Tuesday sued the state of Georgia for allegedly segregating and mistreating thousands of public school students with behavior-related disabilities in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The department contends that 4,600 students in the Georgia Network for Educational and Therapeutic Support Program were improperly segregated from their general education classmates, despite the ADA requiring that they be accommodated in the most integrated setting appropriate to assure meaningful interaction with students without disabilities. The GNETS program is supposed to provide comprehensive educational and therapeutic support services for students who might otherwise require residential or other more restrictive placements because of their emotional or behavior disorder, the program website says. But according to experts, segregating students with behavioral disabilities can stigmatize them and keep them from learning to interact with others. This can deprive them of developing the social and coping skills that help them function in mainstream society. A statement by Principal Deputy Assistant Attorney General Vanita Gupta, head of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, said, quote, Georgia has relegated thousands of students with behavior-related disabilities to separate, segregated, and unequal settings, and placed other students at serious risk of entering such settings by failing to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, end quote. The case filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Georgia is the Justice Department's first ever lawsuit against a state-run school system for segregating students with disabilities. Following a two-year investigation based on complaints from parents and students, the Justice Department found that students in the program spent whole days, including lunch periods, in isolation with other students with disabilities. More than two-thirds of the program students attend classes in regional centers that are often far from their homes. Others attend classes in separate, isolated areas of general school buildings. Attorneys for the state have been negotiating with the Department of Justice about fixing problems in the program, and in July submitted a letter outlining the progress they had made. But a department spokesman said those discussions and efforts by the state have not produced satisfactory results. While the federal government would prefer to reach an agreement on program fixes, the agency said it is prepared to go to trial and seek a federal court order for Georgia Public Schools to provide appropriate mental health services. With the Olympic Games ended, Brazil immediately faces another crisis as it tries to keep the financial promises it made to the world as host of the fast-approaching Paralympic Games. Even before the curtain went down on the 2016 Summer Olympics Games in Rio, Brazil, Brazil was slashing what it intended to spend on the Paralympic Games, the international sports competition for athletes with disabilities. The 15th Paralympics will begin in Rio on September 7th and end 11 days later. More than 4,300 athletes from at least 165 countries are scheduled to compete in 20 sports. The U.S. announced it will bring a team of 267, mostly athletes, the largest U.S. delegation yet. A record number of outlets are expected to broadcast the games to more than 100 countries. As part of their being awarded the Olympics, Rio de Janeiro and Brazil were to cover most of the associated costs of the Paralympics. And even after approving the transfer of about $71 million in government funds, part of it briefly delayed by prosecutors, Brazil is struggling to meet its commitment to the Games, according to Sir Philip Craven, the president of the International Paralympic Committee. Among the cuts, transportation services and other support. Organizers are now scrambling to do more with less. The Paralympic Games are for athletes with disabilities ranging from blindness to cerebral palsy to amputations. The Games have many of the same sports as the regular Olympics, everything from judo to wheelchair basketball, rugby and fencing to weightlifting, and the newly added sports of canoeing and paratriathlon. The goal, as Craven put in a statement, is, quote, to make Rio, Brazil, Latin America, and the world a more equitable place for all, end quote. Brazilian organizers have confirmed that only 12% of the tickets for Paralympic events have been sold so far, about 300,000, a staggeringly small number since some tickets cost less than $4. Ticket sales were expected to help defray some of the costs of putting on the events. And finally, Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner last week vetoed House Bill 5931, discussed last week on Disability Beat with self-advocate Bob Peterson. This bill, which was passed by both the Illinois House and Senate, would have raised the average wage for direct support workers for people with disabilities to $15 per hour. The Illinois Coalition of Disability Advocates responded with the following statement. Quote, Governor Rauner's veto of HB 5931, the Community Disability Living Wage Act, is a significant setback to the state's ability to provide critical services and supports for over 27,000 Illinoisans with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The purpose of this legislation was to establish a living wage for direct support professionals. The system is struggling to meet basic health and safety needs for the individual served in community-based settings. This crisis exists because for 8 years, the state has not increased reimbursement rates, resulting in an average wage of those providing direct supports of just $9.35 an hour, which is below the national wage average and below the federal poverty line for a family of four. HB 5931 received 107 yes votes in the General Assembly. Over 7,000 advocates took action to register their support. Unfortunately, with this veto, we are now farther away from solving this critical issue that threatens community integration and the health, safety, and well-being of children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The coalition has read Governor Rauner's explanation for his veto action, and we stand ready to work with his administration and the General Assembly on finding a way to increase wages for these direct support professionals, end quote. And that's the news for this week.
System and big temptation of a lifetime long. Won't get out of hand, stretch myself too thin. I won't forget about my house and home. This wishful thinking will drive me insane. I need a new job that pays, to turn this loss into gain. I need a raise.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, joined today by my guest in the studio, Teresa O'Connor. Teresa is the director of the CU Autism Network. She's been on the program before, but it's been a few years. So welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Get a little closer to your microphone there, Teresa, and that'll be great. So tell us first a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them a little bit about the CU Autism Network for those folks who don't know anything about it.
Okay. I am currently a developmental therapist, so I work with families and children birth to three in the home who, if the children have a delay. I was a special ed teacher for 10 years, and my love for autism came when I was getting my bachelor's degree at Eastern Illinois University. I just had the honor of working with several different kids with differing abilities mm-hmm. on the spectrum. And I was amazed, and I just kind of latched on to autism and said, I got to find out more about this. And mm-hmm. so I've worked with kids with autism for almost 20 years. I was involved with Autism Network when they did their first walk, and each year I just took on a little bit more and more responsibility until 2013 when I became director of the network.
Right. And so how long has the network been in existence roughly? Do you know that?
I do not know that. I will guess 18 years.
And what role does it serve in general? Is it mainly a parent support group? And if so, what kinds of things do you do to support family members?
We have monthly support group meetings, September through May. We mm-hmm. meet the first Thursday of every month, again, September through May minus January,
mm-hmm.
From 6:30 to 8 at the Stevens Family YMCA. We have different topics. Actually, Amy Cohen from the U of I Psychology Department will be our first speaker.
I saw that email coming out. So,
Thursday.
Yeah, tell a little bit about that. That'll be this, not this coming.
Yes. This week, this Thursday.
Wow. Okay, so that's September 1st? It is Thursday. Oh, wow. I can't believe that's gone that fast. So, yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Well, she's going to come and talk about the new autism clinic, but she's also going to talk about siblings mm-hmm. of children with special needs and just how to support the siblings, because often children with special needs require the bulk of parents' time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the siblings kind of get put on the back burner, and unless they're super good kids, I'm guessing, feel left out. And so they need to be supported also.
In the case of my kids, even super good kids feel left out, I think, sometimes. So, yeah, that's a great topic. We should probably have her come on this show and talk a little bit about that as well. And then, so you have a support group. You also do a couple of fundraisers during the course of the year as well.
Typically, we just do the Autism Walk every April.
Mm-hmm.
The next one will be April 23rd, 2017.
Hopefully that will come quickly.
Yeah. With the walk is more symbolic. It's more about getting people together, sharing resources with people that may not be aware of all the resources our community has to offer. So we have the resource fair. We typically have fire trucks and ambulances, sometimes police cars, just so that kids with autism can get in and experience them in a non-threatening situation. In case something happens and they do need to, you know, a fire truck comes to their house, so they're not as alarmed at it.
Right. I know that that's a huge concern for a lot of family members. Does the CU Autism Network have a relationship with the local police departments?
Yes, both Champaign and Urbana.
Mm-hmm. That's really key, I think. So you have an event coming up in October. Now, this is the first time you've tried doing a conference of this size?
It's the first time I've done a conference. There was a conference probably 5 or 6 years ago that I was not involved in.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first conference I've ever planned, and it's a lot more work than I expected it to be.
A lot of little details yes. to be planned on it. So give folks the date, time, place, and then we'll talk more about what's going to be there and what
okay.
people can expect.
The Autism Conference will be Tuesday, October 25th. Registration starts at 7:30. The conference will actually go from 8 to 4. Lunch is included in the registration prices. Early bird registration goes through September 25th. Professionals are $65. College students are $25. Family members, people with autism themselves, or other people that don't fit in the professional or college students would pay the $20 rate.
So really, that basically covers lunch.
Yes.
Essentially. So, but you have some pretty exciting speakers coming
yes.
for that day. So let's talk about those folks a little bit.
The keynote speaker is Temple Grandin.
Mm-hmm.
I was super excited. I've been trying to bring her to town for many, many years, so to actually get her, very excited about that. She will present in the afternoon. Her mother, who is 93, I believe, will present via Skype in the morning.
Interesting.
And we will have screens up around the room so that people can see her.
Uh-huh.
So she'll present in the morning.
So tell folks a little bit about Temple, if there are those folks who haven't heard of her.
Temple is amazing. I listen to her podcasts all the time, and I learn something new every time I listen to one. She actually got her PhD from the U of I in 1989 in animal sciences.
Mm-hmm.
She has designed, I think, 85 or 90% of the cattle handling facilities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because since she has autism, she realizes that animals come at the world from a sensory-based, which she does too because of her autism. So she can go into a cattle handling facility and realize the things that are causing problems for the animals because she can I don't know if she can think like cows. I don't know that any studies have been done. But because she comes from a sensory base herself and thinks in pictures like she believes cows do,
mm-hmm.
she can redesign the facilities so the cows are not stressed. So the cows can go into a chute and get their shots. And she has designed the chutes in a circular motion. Mm-hmm. So the cows think they're going back from where they came. And so they'll just walk through here and then they can stop, get their vaccinations and continue on. So it's, she's made it much more humane for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
She herself has autism, if you haven't picked that up from Teresa's description, but I know she never spoke until she was,
I think she was 5 or 6 before.
Five
she
or
spoke.
6 years old. I mean, an incredibly smart woman. Which is one of the amazing things about people with autism that I, you know, every person I've ever met is very unique and different and has different abilities and interests. And it, you know, you, it's such a mysterious kind of a disability, but once peeled layers are, you know, peeled back, it's really interesting who people are and how they can make a huge contribution to our world.
And her mother had a huge part to do with that, obviously, as all mothers do in raising children with special needs. But I've listened to some of her podcasts also, and I'm also in the process of reading her book, A Thorn in My Pocket. Hmm. And she really pushed Temple to learn and to go outside of her comfort zone. And Temple was talking about, I think it was her aunt's horse farm. The mother said, you need to go and spend the summer on the aunt's horse farm. And she goes, well, I don't want to. And she goes, well, it's not an option. You were going to go because Temple always liked to draw horses.
Mm-hmm.
So her mother took her interest in horses and said, okay, you're going to go learn more about horses. So she learned about, you know, the gates that open and close for horses and how to make those. It was in the movie, but how to make them so that they don't frighten the horses when the horses come up to the gate where it can just open and the horses can go through.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really her mother continuously pushing her past that comfort zone that brought her how far she has come.
Yeah, and I've heard her speak on several occasions. I was fortunate enough to see her when she was up here at the University of Illinois. I'm guessing it was about 10 years ago. And then several years ago, she spoke down in Charleston, and I took a trip down there to hear her as well. And she has such a great presentation. You know, she does so well. She's so funny. And she far prefers to talk about animals than she does about herself and her autism.
Right.
So are you coaxing her to speak about both, or is it focused mainly
on focusing on autism, yeah. But I'm sure animals will come up as well.
I'm sure they will. And then some of your other presenters are?
We will have Joan Gorsuch from Champaign. She will be presenting on friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Curtis is a doctoral student at the U of I. She will be presenting on human sexuality. And Dr. Morton will be bringing one of his new colleagues that's joining Carl, and they will be presenting on sleep disorders.
And so is it the general session and those three as breakouts, or does everybody get to hear?
Everybody gets to hear everything.
You know, I far prefer that model. You know, not having to choose, because it always seems like right. You're missing something.
That's
if that's
always
the case.
Difficult when you have to choose between two or even more than two.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And so what else should people expect to see it and learn or to do with this conference?
For parents, I think they are going to learn. Parents and teachers actually will learn a lot from Eustacia Cutler, Temple's mm-hmm. mother, because, again, she helped bring Temple to where she is, and she still gets on Temple. I mean, mm-hmm. they still have that mother-daughter relationship, even though, actually, I think Temple is 70 years old today.
Seriously?
I believe it's her birthday.
Wow. She doesn't look anywhere near that.
No, she doesn't. But, so the mother will share information that will help parents, professionals, students. Temple will share information that will help anybody. I mean, mm-hmm. she's just such a wealth of knowledge. And then the reason that we chose Joan and Sarah to present on human sexuality and friendship is because those two are really key for kids who have autism.
Mm-hmm.
They're key for everybody, but friendships are really difficult for kids who have autism. So anything that we can do to share that information with parents, and especially professionals,
mm-hmm.
because professionals sometimes don't get that friendship is a part of it. Because schools will say, oh, they don't need social work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do need social work, because if you don't have a base of friends, how are you going to move forward in life?
Yeah.
So I thought Joan would be a really good one to present on friendships. And then human sexuality, a lot of times, just to make sure that everybody remains safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sarah's going to touch on that and share information that everybody can do to make sure that kids with autism are safe.
Right. And I mean, that's one of parents' biggest worries. I'm sure Temple's mom, when Temple was younger, the primary concern is you want your kid to be safe. And some people will take that need for safety and turn it into protecting your child so much that you don't allow them to do anything or take any kind of risk whatsoever. So
right.
I think that's critically important for family members to hear, allowing their kids to do something that, you know, otherwise might not happen.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of Temple's message as well.
And then Dr. Morton on sleep, because kids with autism inevitably always have sleep problems as well. So Dr. Morton's going to talk about some things that parents can do that will help with that sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Future Horizons there. We'll have a couple of tables of books. And Alexandria, Renee's daughter, will be there selling books mm-hmm. also. And then I think we may have one other vendor table. There's not a lot of space because we're going to have so many attendees that we're limited on space that we can let people present.
Yeah, and I've been to the iHotel before, and unless you have tables inside the big rooms, there's really not a lot of space in the hallways around, but it's a nice facility.
Right.
So should be a great event. Why don't you give the details one more time for people who are running to get their paper and pencil now, and if you have a website, you know, give them that as well.
Okay. Again, the autism conference will be Tuesday, October 25th at the iHotel. Registration starts at 7:30. The conference will be from 8 to 4, and lunch will be provided. You can go to our website, which is cuautismnetwork.org, and there's a link there for the registration.
Okay, very good. Thanks for joining me today, Teresa O'Connor of the CU Autism Network. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week.